As I said, we're starting this new series on the 23rd Psalm. You know, the 23rd Psalm is one of the most well-known and often quoted passages of the Bible. But I want you to understand, it is much more than pretty words that comfort us during a difficult time. This psalm gives us many powerful truths about the Lord and about our relationship with the Lord. If we will really get this psalm down in our heart, I want you to know it'll bring us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Lord, our shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Powerful, powerful words. I want to encourage everybody here this morning to memorize this passage of Scripture as we work our way through it during the next several weeks. I know that on every chair we put one of these little slips of paper with the 23rd Psalm. It's in the New King James Version. That's what I'm going to be preaching from as we go through this series. And I just want you to take this with you. You know, you can put it in your Bible or put it in your pocket, whatever, but keep it with you as you're learning this psalm. Don't allow this to be something that other people did. I encourage you, this is going to be a real blessing to you right now in your life. But if you really get this down in your heart, in the years to come, there are going to be so many times that it comes back to you and blesses you and helps you through a difficult time. Let it come alive to you. See, we don't memorize just for the sake of memorization. No, we are thinking, meditating on the Word of God and getting it down into our heart. And I know some of you think, well, that's hard. You know, I'm not good at that. I can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do difficult things. You can do things that you might not could do on your own. He can help you do it. And we're going to do this together, all right? Now, I preached a similar series, basically this series, we called it The Lord is My Shepherd, 7 years ago. 7 years ago, my granddaughter was 2 years and 3 months old. 2 years and 3 months old. Go ahead.
No.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. Green pastures. He leads me to sites of still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk the valley of shadow, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Rod and the staff, they comfort me. Prepare a table for me. Presses my enemies, anoint my head with oil, my cups run over. Surely goodness is mercy for me all days of my life, and I dwell in the light of forever.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. 2 years and 3 months, she could barely talk, but she memorized it. And here's the thing I want to say to some of you parents. She didn't read that and learn it on her own. Do you understand what I'm saying? We got to teach the Bible to our kids. Amen. Don't waste time with foolishness. Oh, let's use the time that you have. You know, that time goes by so fast. Use the time that you have to teach your kids the Word of God. You'll never regret it. Amen. But I want to say this to you. See, we can all do this. So this morning, we're going to do it together. We're just going to learn the first phrase this morning. It's real simple. The Lord is my shepherd. Would you say it? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, how many of you can remember that? Okay, some of you, that's good. Some of you are going to have to work on it a little bit. The Lord is my shepherd. We're just going to take it a piece at a time. And this morning, we're just going to focus on this one truth here. The Lord is my shepherd. Speaking of the Lord being his shepherd was something that David knew a lot about. It's something that he understood because he had been a shepherd of sheep. He knew what it was to take care of sheep. He knew what it was to protect and provide for the sheep. It's a spiritual truth that impacts us every day when we learn this, when we understand this, that the Lord really is our shepherd. David had protected the sheep with his very life. He said that when a lion came or a bear came, he killed that lion, he killed that bear. Now we know that God empowered him to do so, had to have been, amen? But we need to understand, David knew what he was talking about when he talks about the Lord being our shepherd. He's the good shepherd who takes care of the sheep. See, we're under the Lord's care, his protection, his provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I think that when David said those words, it was in great faith and trust. The Lord is my shepherd. And I believe that it brought him great joy and peace in his life to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I tell you, the Lord being our shepherd is not a concept that's exclusive to the 23rd Psalm. In fact, you'll see it over and over in the Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. Here's one of those in Psalm 100 and verse 3. I know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. In 1 John 10:11, Jesus proclaims this about himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what he did for us. Amen? In Hebrews 13:20, it tells us that he is the great shepherd of the sheep. In 1 Peter 5:4, it says that he's the chief shepherd. Today, we're just focusing on this. The Lord is my shepherd. And we're going to take it just a piece at a time. The first part, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to understand something about the word Lord here. It is not the title Lord. Anytime you're reading the Old Testament and you see the word Lord in all capitals, that's because it is not the title Lord. They just translated it as that for English, but understand this, it is actually the name of the Lord. In Hebrew, it is Yahweh. Now, many times it's translated as Jehovah or Yehovah, but it is most literally Yahweh. That's what was written here. That's what David was saying when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's talking about the self-existent one, the eternal God, Almighty God, who spoke the universe into existence, the one who lived forever before. He's the beginning and the end. Talking about the one who sees all and hears all and knows all. That one, he's our shepherd. The healer, the provider, the deliverer, the one that nobody can stand against. Faithful God who always keeps his word. That's the one. You see, we need to understand what's behind that name. That mighty God, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. The Lord. That's who we're talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. The mighty God, the one who can do anything. He's my shepherd. The one who knows the beginning and the end. He knows what's ahead. He's my shepherd. You see, we got to get a hold of who we're talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. We need to make it now. You see, some people, they're always looking at the past, wishing they could go back, the good old days, you know. Some people are always looking forward to the future, that it's going to get better someday. One of these days, I'm finally going to be in a good place, you know, when I get out of the house, when I get married, when I have kids, when the kids get out of the house, you know, when I'm able to retire someday, someday, someday. You need to know that He is your shepherd right here, right now. In your situation, your circumstance of life, what you're going through right now, He is your shepherd. He will lead you and guide you and take care of you. He is your shepherd. And then David, he makes it very personal for us, for himself. It wasn't something he had heard about. And I hope that it's not just something that you hear about. It wasn't just a psalm he read from the Bible from time to time. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Not just a shepherd or the shepherd, or listen, not even our shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Very personal to him. He's my shepherd. And you need to get this. He's my shepherd. You know, we're supposed to have a very personal relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that when we're talking about the shepherd, it's a very personal thing, that He is the one who leads us, who watches over us, that takes care of us. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a story that's told about a banquet where they had this professional speaker, and he quoted the 23rd Psalm, and he was so eloquent in his enunciation and everything that when he finished, the audience applauded him. But then he knew of an older minister in the audience, and he had the older minister come up and quote the 23rd Psalm. And when the man finished, there was no applause. It was quiet. But people were moved. There were many people with tears in their eyes. And somebody asked the professional speaker afterward, they said, "What was the difference?" He says, "I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd." Amen. And I want you to understand, so we don't want to just know the psalm. We want to know the shepherd. We want to know Him personally. We want to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus talks a lot about this intimate relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. In John 10, 14, He says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." He says, "I know my sheep, and they know me." Then in John 10, 27, He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, if we're to truly have the Lord as our shepherd, then we have to have an intimate relationship with Him where He leads and guides our life. And we gotta be able to know His voice. He says that we know His voice. And I want to encourage you this morning that you can learn to know the voice of the Lord if you will listen and obey. More and more and more, you will know His voice. He is my shepherd. What are we talking about? He's the one that is watching over you. He's the one that's taking care of you. He's the one that provides for you. He's the one who protects you. As a shepherd cares for the sheep, our Heavenly Father cares for us. He loves us. He watches over us. He's with us all the time. Amen. So many in this world, they're just trying to do it on their own. They don't realize how desperately they need a shepherd. Matthew 9:36, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Moved with compassion. He felt great mercy and emotion for those people, moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. I tell you, as a pastor, I see young people, I see young adults, I see moms and dads and grandparents that need a shepherd. They need the Lord to be the shepherd in their life. The pride of man says, I don't need anybody to take care of me. I'm a man. I can take care of myself. Well, I want to read to you what Jesus said in Matthew 18:3-4. He says, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What's he talking about here? Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You can't even get into the kingdom of heaven without humbling yourself, without coming to a place where you realize your desperate need of him, that you can't do it all on your own, that you need the Lord, you need the shepherd. Amen, that means that you trust him enough to allow him to lead, to allow him to be Lord, to allow him to be in control in your life. The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherds lead sheep. There was a time when if you wanted to get somewhere that you hadn't been before, you had to get a map. And I don't know if any of y'all remember these days, a few of you might. When I first started as a youth pastor in Fort Worth, we had to have a MAPSCO. If you don't know what that is, that's okay. Don't worry about it. But you either had to have a map or somebody had to give you directions to get somewhere you hadn't been before. But the easy way to get somewhere you hadn't been before was if somebody else was going there and they knew the way, you just follow. Well, nowadays, we just Google. You just put it in your phone. It'll tell you turn here, turn there. It'll tell you exactly what to do. And here's the thing. It's also how a lot of people try to navigate life. They just Google. They just look it up on the internet. There's a million different sources of information. Information on anything and everything that you want to talk about. Marriage, raising kids, money, finances, planning for retirement, whatever you want to talk about, how to have fulfillment in life, whatever you want to talk about, all kinds of information out there. And there's 100 different voices tell you 100 different things. And there's a lot of Christian versions of it. And I use the term Christian rather loosely because believe me, a lot of that stuff didn't come from the Bible. But it's amazing how people will look at all this and they'll say, well, you know, that seems good to me. Or they'll just pick the one, I like this. So this is what I believe. It's like stumbling in the dark of life. Trial and error. I'll just try this. I want to tell you, we need a shepherd. He knows the way. He wants to do you good. He wants to help you. He loves you. We just try to figure it all out on our own. But when we're running our own lives, even when we're doing the best we can, sooner or later we find ourselves in a mess. Somebody say, that's right, preacher. That's right. Anybody ever found yourself in a mess even though you did the best you could? Yeah. Pretty much every one of you. The only one of you that I'm not talking to right now is people. I'm not going to say that. Every once in a while, I decide to be nice. I'm going to be nice today. The proverb proves true. Proverbs 14, 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. See, sometimes we think we've got it figured out. We think we're doing the right thing for me. Let me tell you something. You better be following the leading of the shepherd or it's going to end bad. See, and here I keep saying this. He leads. He doesn't drive you. You don't drive sheep. They're not like a herd of cattle. He leads us. He won't force you. He won't make you. You can leave and go and do it your way. That's why we have to choose. We have to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to let him be the shepherd of my life. I'm going to let him order my steps. Let him lead and guide me through life. And I know that it can be difficult because that old human pride and that independence, that attitude rises up. But I want to tell you that we got to be careful that we're not just claiming him as our shepherd, but we truly are allowing him to be in charge, to lead us and guide us through life. Amen. You know, a lot of times people will say things like, well, you know, I just do the best I can, you know, live my life, and I know that God is there if I need him. It's like they got an idol on the shelf at home, and they just live their life, and if, well, I'm having some trouble, they go get their idol down, and they pray to it and say, come on now, Lord, you got to help me out here. And then they get mad at God because he doesn't do what they tell him to do. That's not the way this works. If he is your shepherd, then he is your shepherd all the time, leading you and guiding you, that you allow him to truly be the Lord of your life. Then you can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. It's hard sometimes for us to relinquish control, for us to be willing to submit ourselves to him. But Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. Now, some people get really silly with the scripture and they read this where Jesus said you got to be poor, and they think, oh yeah, you need to take a vow of poverty. Well, that one's not too popular anymore, thank God. But we do need to understand what Jesus was talking about. He's talking about that if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to come to the place where we realize that we are bankrupt without him. We don't have anything without the Lord. He's everything. We're desperate for him in our lives. Desperately needing. Jesus says, all things are possible with God, but it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom. Why? Because they put their trust in their money. It's hard for them to humble themselves because they think that because of their money, they got it made. There's a lot of that in America today. A lot of people, it's hard for them to humble themselves and admit how desperately they need the Lord because of their abilities or their talents or giftings. A lot of different reasons that people refuse to relinquish the control of their life and humble themselves before God. But if we're really going to make him our shepherd, we've got to come to that place of humility before him and realize how desperately we need him. In another psalm, David said, it's Psalm 34, verse 6, he said, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. David was very aware of how much he needed the Lord. You know, I don't think that the Lord decided to use sheep as an analogy in the scriptures over and over and over again after the fact. I think that in the mind of the eternal God, I think that when he made sheep, he had in mind that he made sheep to teach us, to help us understand our relationship with Him and how much we need Him and how much He would want to take care of us and provide for us if we would allow Him to. But here's something I can tell you about sheep. Sheep are dumb animals. No, really dumb. A lot of animals, if you take them off down the road a little bit, they can figure out how to get back. Not sheep. They're too dumb for that. In fact, sheep have no natural defense. Nothing. I mean, their best defense is maybe you'll catch that sheep instead of me. You know what you call a sheep without a shepherd? Dinner. They need a shepherd. God designed them this way. It's kind of strange. I mean, you know, but this is the way the Lord made them, that they need a shepherd, and so do we. You know, we already talked about how David defended the sheep. He killed the lion and the bear. He protected them. But also during this time that David was a shepherd, sheep, it would have been hard for them where they were to even find food and water on their own. They needed a shepherd. Now, most of us, you know, we're smarter than sheep. We can find food and water. Now, that's not a very high bar. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's a whole lot of needs. There's a whole lot of issues and things in our life that are a lot more complicated than needs than food and water. And I want you to understand the shepherd, he wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for us. There's a need in your soul that you can't meet on your own. Only he can. And you might be able to get a gun and shoot a lion, but I want you to understand that there is an adversary of your soul, a lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says. And hear me now, apart from him, we have no power against that lion, against that adversary. We need the Lord's power. We need his protection in our life. We see the destruction in so many lives around us every day. Just remember, when you think you're pretty smart, you know, smarter than sheep, his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are so much higher than ours. You know how much smarter you are than a sheep? It's way, way more. He knows everything. Everything, past, present, and future. He knows how it's all going to work out. See, sometimes, even when we are following the Lord's leading, and He is truly our Lord, He's in charge of our lives, we find ourselves in difficult places in life. We find ourselves going through things where we just are like, why? But here's what I have learned. That over and over and over, even through all of those times and those kinds of places, that I just need to trust him because he will work it all together for my good. He'll make a way. It may look like there's no way, but God always makes a way. We just have to learn to trust the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The one who knows. The one who can do anything. He's worthy of your trust. The heart of this psalm is that David truly trusted the Lord as his shepherd, and it brought him great contentment and peace. He relied on the Lord for safety and protection and provision and blessing, everything that he needed in life. He was looking to the Lord to take care of him, you see. And we need to understand this. It's hard for us who are so independent, and We've been taught this, that we just have to take care of ourselves. We don't need anybody. See, it's hard for us to come to the place where we realize how much we need the Lord. It proves to be foolish and vain. when we just try to do it on our own instead of letting the Lord have control in our life. We need to understand the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. So we're going to go to John chapter 10 and look at verses 11 through 14. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. And the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." But notice here, he says, "my own." He owns us. In fact, he says the hireling leaves because he doesn't own the sheep. But he owns us. And he takes care of what belongs to him. Now, if you're struggling with being owned by Jesus, let me just tell you the straight up. You were bought at a price. He paid with his precious blood. He bought you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. We belong to him. We are his sheep. And he takes care of us. And we just need to relinquish the control and allow him to truly be Lord in our life. You know, some people, they want to do it their way, and their life just is in such a mess, and the Lord wants to help them. He wants to get it turned around. We want to be our own boss. I grew up in a lawyer's home, and so you've probably heard this. I heard it many times. The man that represents himself, you know, tries to be his own lawyer in the courtroom, has a fool for a client. Well, let me tell you something. You want to be your own man and be your own boss, that's being a bigger fool. You need the Lord. We need him in our life. He knows things we don't know. He has it all planned out. I want to tell you, God has a future for you, but you got to be willing to make the Lord the shepherd of your life, to truly allow him to be Lord. He's the one that decides, not just ourselves. We follow him. The culture around us tells us that we should believe in ourselves. You know, they got old song about you can't trust anybody, you got to trust yourself. Wrong, 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 wrong. I know many of you have heard me say it a lot of times, but it needs to be said a lot of times because of that attitude that's so prevalent in our culture. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Trust yourself. Nobody has let me down as much as me. But he has never let me down. Never, never let me down. He didn't always do what I wanted him to do, but he has never let me down. I trust him. And you see, this is what it really comes down to. The reason that people don't want to make him the Lord of their life is because they don't really trust him. They think they're going to miss out on something. They just want to do it their way. Trust him. He's trustworthy. We just got to be willing to turn it over to him. How much better when we just trust him. We read in John 10, 11. I want to go back a verse to John 10, 10 and read 10 and 11 together. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. See, we just need to trust him. There's an enemy of your soul who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus, he didn't come to take, to steal, to kill, and destroy. He came to give us life, and not just any old life, abundant life, a life that's overflowing. You can trust him. You can trust him. He loves you. He wants to take care of you. Make him your shepherd. Say it truly from your heart. Go to the Lord today and say, "You are my shepherd." Allow him to lead you and guide you. Lay aside the old pride, that self-sufficiency, and turn it over to him. I'll tell you, you will find a place of great freedom and victory and peace and joy. The weight will be lifted from off of your shoulders when you learn to trust him to be the shepherd in your life. Amen. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to go ahead and